Right side, right arm goes up from Mandeville, right into the centre of the six, headed partially away, but Aldacre knew that the ball was probably and he's been bumbled over. It is a penalty to Chesterfield. Aldacre pushed over, or was is it a penalty? He has given it a penalty. And Will Grigg,
just a little push, I think.
Will Grigg is on penalty duty. A shove on Aldacre. Will Grigg's got the ball in his hand. 31st minute, Will Grigg steps up with his penalty and has put it into the back of the net to give the league leaders the lead at the team in second place. The Chesterfield supporters over on the far side of the pitch celebrate the scoreline being Bromley 0, Chesterfield 1. Well, great play from Aldacre, and as calm as you like from Will Grigg.
Yeah, he just let the fake to the keeper went down, and he just put it down the middle once the keeper's fallen over.
Cleared away by Pasley, who's played it long. Williams has got a little bit of work to do because he's let it bounce, and he hooks that, and he's towards the corner. He's just been shoved off the ball. Sure. No, he was clearly shoved off the ball. Bromley in the centre, and Cheek, great save from Tyra, great second shave, and it's followed up by Cheek. It's followed up by Cheek, and well, that looked like a foul on Williams, but it's goal given. Michael Cheek scored for the eighth time against Chesterfield. We're in the 47th minute. But, Williams, first of all, let that ball bounce.
Yes, and we said earlier there about letting the ball bounce. But he sort of semi-recovered, and then Cheeks had a couple of goes at it. Tyra's made a good save, and then I think it just bobbled in. I didn't quite see the end of it. Cheek got on the end of it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Cheek will claim that one.
Yeah, but, it looked like a foul on Williams there, for sure.
Deflection.
Not quite feeding them balls into the forwards this half, are we?
He's fed forward towards... ball in towards Cheek. And Cheek has rolled it in from 8 yards. We've got people standing right in front of us as we came there.
Yeah, they just got him that.
Scored again.
Cheek again.
It was given away. Shackleford on the halfway line, and the burst down the left-hand side rolled in for Cheek. And from 8 yards out, he rolls it in.
Easy finish for him.
It is. Bromley 2, Chesterfield 1.
Yeah, it's a bit too easy there. They got him down our right side. He pulled it back, and Cheek's in acres of space, slid it under Tyra.
Aldacre, who drops his shoulder, plays it in towards Michael Jacobs. There's more space on the right for Chesterfield, so they're going there. Banks is a long way out, tries a shot. It's a cracker. Oh, it's in!
What a goal
from Ollie Banks.
Give it,
30-odd yards out.
What a strike that is.
That hit the underside of the bar, went beyond Grant Smith. That is the longest shot from a Chesterfield player I've seen for many a year. Ollie Banks rifles it in. The Chesterfield supporters go up. Miles out, absolutely miles
fans
out.
Fans are on the pitch.
And it's the equalising goal, and what a goal. If you do nothing else this weekend, make sure you see that. It's Bromley 2, Chesterfield 2. Well, Paul Cook's never all that keen on long shots.
Really?
But he won't mind that one, will he?
It's always better when it hits the bar and bounces down as well. It looks so good.
Mandeville with a left-sided corner kick to take this time, and it's an in-swinger onto the near post, and it's in. It is from the near post. Tom Naylor gets his head onto it, and Chesterfield have turned this match round again. Mandeville on his birthday gets the assist. Tom Naylor, Chesterfield's number 4, scored more goals this season than any season in his long and distinguished career, gets another one at the near post. It is Bromley 2, Chesterfield 3.
He's got to give that to Mandeville, hasn't he? It's his birthday. I think he got the slightest touch on that. Yeah, they'd give it to Naylor.
Slight
touch, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just what you needed. But that was the quality.
It's a lovely corner, yeah.
The quality of the corner.
Pace, and he didn't even have to jump, just flicked it as he ran.
It's an attack from the left-hand side for Bromley, played infield. Awkward ball, and it's an equaliser. And
Cheek
it is
again.
Michael Cheek with a hat-trick. And it's 3-3, and Cheek, the ball just whipped in.
Yeah, on the left again, bit like the second goal.
From the left, and Cheek knows where the goal is. Half volley, 10 yards. In the 86 minutes, it is Bromley 3, Chesterfield 3. Plenty of white shirts in the box now, low drive in.
What a save, Tyra! That is the save
of the season.
Unbelievable save.
Absolute save of the season. Kirk had got in there, 2 yards out. Tyra, 5 yards to his left, flung himself in there. Gordon Banks, Pele, eat your heart out. Corner.
Wow. He's 6 yards out. He's got such a firm hand. He's put it over the bar, hasn't he?
That is the best save I've ever seen live. Kirk, who I think it was that forced that save from Tyra. Ball into the box. And it's bundled home by Bromley. They've won the game surely now. I couldn't see who it was at the far post. Just a hopeful cross from the right-hand side. Player following in at the left-hand side. Half-volleyed it in. Looks as though Chesterfield are going to be losing the game. It is Bromley 4, Chesterfield 3.
Great delivery from the right-hand side again. Abintu got in on coming from the left side. I don't know if it was an own goal or he got the final touch, but there's two or three players going for the ball.
And the full-time whistle has gone. Chesterfield have lost. It's been one heck of a game. Great entertainment. But Lee Francis, not quite enough for Chesterfield at the end.
It's a funny game. Chesterfield have played well, but we've lost the game. You know, been caught out defensively for four goals, which obviously letting four goals in one half is never good. But you can't complain too much. You say 20 points clear. You know.
Yes, and Bromley showed that why they're second.
Yeah, I think a draw would have been a fair result, to be fair.
Yeah, no question about that. But, you know, from an entertainment point, if this had been a six-pointer, we'd have all been gutted
Yeah, you're not as disappointed as you say you would have been if it had been a six-pointer. But although looking at Paul Cook walking off...
Paul Cook's a perfectionist.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
He never sees any positives in defeat, ever. In a league match, you might see a positive in a defeat in a cup game against a higher division side, but I've never in... you know, all his time in two spells at Chesterfield, know him find any positives out of a defeat. But of course, it is that. Well, we can lean back and say 20 points clear, Bromley. And it looks like Barnet have Barnet won. I think that's been confirmed as a result. Now it's just behind one of my. Barnet have won 4-2 at Fylde. Bromley have won 4-3 here against Chesterfield. It was a game that started off with Will Grigg scoring from the penalty spot in a dominant first half for Chesterfield. But then Bromley came out all guns blazing. Cheek equalised 47. He put Bromley in the lead on 63 before Banks, with an absolute screamer from 35 yards, equalised. Naylor put Chesterfield back in the lead from Mandeville's left wing corner. Cheek equalised then. Right at the end, 4 minutes into stoppage time, Sam Woods popped up to hit home from the left corner of the six-yard area to make the final score here. Bromley 4, Chesterfield 3. We'll be getting reaction from the dressing room. We might be a bit more muted than normal, but thanks to Lee Francis. Be able to go and drown your sorrows with your mates now. And, we'll be talking about this match for a long time to come.
It's been a great game.
It has been a great game, and we can acknowledge that. But next we'll be getting reaction from Chesterfield supporters and from the dressing room. It's ended here at Hayes Lane, Bromley 4, Chesterfield 3.
1866 Sport. With unrivalled full match commentary for every Spirites home and away game.
Well, Josh Marsh, on characteristic errors from Chesterfield, we can... we're still 20 points in front. We've seen a terrific advert for the National League, but 0 points, and the manager Paul Cook, I don't think, is going to be too happy.
No, and you say terrific advert for the National League, and you're right in that sense. What a game of football, end-to-end stuff. But if you ask the Chesterfield dressing room, would they rather have had a good advert for the National League or a ground out 1-0 win? I think we all know what the answer would be. And you look at that performance today, and you can't criticise too much because of the season Chesterfield have had. It would be irrational to go off on one at certain individuals after that performance. But I can guarantee in that Chesterfield dressing room now, the management team will be hanging some individuals out to dry in there, because there were some poor performances in that second half, some loose passes, the exact opposite to what we saw in the first, where Chesterfield controlled the ball,
stifled Bromley.
It was a comfortable, perfect away performance, and then to come out and do the exact opposite, and you have to credit oppositions as well.
Yes.
Bromley were right up for it in that second half. Clearly, Andy Woodman, whatever he said at half-time, lit a fire up them. They came out, they started pressing Chesterfield, forcing errors, making them give the ball away, and they were right on the attack. They were really quick to break out of defence, putting some very dangerous crosses in as well. And, you know, you have to say, they created some brilliant chances, and on that second half performance, you can't really argue with the result, because I think they did create much more than Chesterfield did in that second half. But Spyrite should have had that game won by half time and just saw it out in that second half, and yet ground it out, made it difficult to Bromley to for Bromley to get anywhere near their goal. But the way they just gave up on possession and let Bromley spring that attack on them, cut through the midfield like it weren't even there, you do have to ask questions. And yeah, with 20 points clear, let's not get too ahead of ourselves and too critical. Chesterfield, in terms of the context of the National League, are still by far and away top of the league, and this result I don't think will change too much in terms of that. But over the last two games, can you say Chesterfield have done enough to win them? I'm not too sure you can.
Well, of course, the last time that Chesterfield drew one and lost one was way back when, Altrincham and Oldham went on a seven match winning streak, didn't they? So more of the same, I'm sure, will be what Paul Cook will be demanding. But let's look at some of the positive bits. That shot from Ollie Banks and that save from Harry Tyrer.
Well, I'll tell you what, Harry Tyrer's man of the match, because I mean, two of the goals, he had no right to make saves before the rebound went in.
Yeah, the bobble for Cheeks.
You know, fantastic goalkeeping on both them, and he'll be spitting blood at his defence for the fact that they didn't help him out there with the rebound and weren't first to it, because Tyrer was doing everything to try and keep his team in that. He was fantastic. And that save at 3-3 towards the end, if that would have saved Chesterfield a point, my word, you know, he would have been getting pats on the back, all the plaudits, and he deserved it. But to concede again, and you know, Bromley keep knocking on the door, Chesterfield don't get to grips, they can't keep the ball, they can't see the game out. It's heat of the moment, isn't it, at final whistle. You've seen your team concede a 4-3 in the very, very last knock-ins of the game. Of course, you're going to be frustrated, but you know, you've got to try and, in these moments, I suppose, get a little bit of perspective and see where Chesterfield still are in the table. But yeah, there'll be work to do on the training ground this week, that's for sure.
Well, of course, another match coming up before you know it, to Halifax Town on Tuesday night. We'll be there, of course, for that from 7 o'clock on 1866 Sport Live. But yeah, well, there'll be plenty of withdrawn comments, I think, before we've had a chance to read them on at 1866 Sport, Josh. But what we're getting through right now,
yeah, you'll have to bear with me, because I'll have to just proofread a few to make sure there's no funny language going off. But Tim says, you can't win them all, but we do seem to cop it late on when we cop it. Mark Barton says, we need to sign Cheek just to stop him playing against us.
we've got the brains trust here on the pitch. Paul Cook, Danny Webb, we've got Paddy O'Brien, Ben Partridge, Dave O'Hare, Gary Roberts and Kieran Dyer.
Yeah, they're all out for a meeting.
Chesterfield's entire backroom squad out there having a conversation. Paul Cook leading the voice, wondering what's going off, and he's doing his animated say about what about down there, and he's pointing up there and down and right, and well, that's telling, isn't it, that he's probably letting the players have a conversation between themselves. Not quite sure what player reaction we might get today. I hope that Jamie Grimes can pop up, the captain, but I would think there'll be quite a few people not quite as willing to come up as normal.
Yeah, well, I'm sure a few of them will have had a big telling off, to be quite honest. I'm not going to name individuals, because I don't think it's my place to.
Andy Woodman's gate crashing the thing, saying, are you coming for a drink?
Are you coming for a drink? And Cookie's probably saying, not right now, mate.
Go away just at the moment, Andrew.
Yeah, let's.
I think that's what
but
he said.
We're trying to keep it clean here on 1866 Sport, aren't we? Jeff Mitchell says, livelier second half noted for a worldly shot support from Ollie Banks. A worldly save from Tyre Ableton, unfortunately conceding four goals by Bromley. Disappointing result, but guess we shouldn't be greedy. Lindsay Downs says, proud Spireite, our lads played well. And to all the moaners, give over. We're top of the league and we're going nowhere. Bring on the next game and 3 points. Chris in New Zealand says, suspected the second half was going to be very different, but didn't expect we'd concede four. A draw would have been fair. Those quick breaks and crosses caught us out. They certainly did, Chris. Agree with everything you've said there. RJC says, still top of the league with a nice cushion of points. I'm still feeling positive for the rest of the season. Andrew Britland says, I think our defenders are good enough for League Two. Or he says, if we think our defenders are good enough for League Two, think again. Shocking, he says, but... Again, well, I mean, you look at it like that. They conceded four today, and over the course of the season, they've had a decent defensive record, by my money. It's hopefully just a blip today. Jimmy Peaks says, I never ever want to play this lot again. me neither, Jimmy. Me neither.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Jimmy.
Jeff King fan page says, we've been well and truly Bromley'd. We'll still get more points than them between now and the end of the season, though. Hashtag going up. Tracy says, we don't want to spiral out of control, do we? We need to keep winning. Must keep momentum going forward. Chris Rosling's also got in touch on Twitter, says, beautiful afternoon here in Lanzarote, but not such a beautiful result. We can't win them all. On to Halifax. So I think that's everything for now for Twitter. So yeah, perhaps not as much reaction as we used to get in, but I imagine there'll be a few Spireites out there drowning the sorrows.
Yeah, we'll go through the score lines right now in the EFL and everything. Just getting those onto my screen. So we have got in the National League, Fylde 2, Barnet 4, Ebbsfleet 3, Eastleigh 0, Halifax 2, Woking 1, Hartlepool 3, Borehamwood 1, Kidderminster 0, Dorking 0, Rochdale 1, Solihull 2, Wealdstone 2, Gateshead 4, York 1, Dagenham 1, the tea time game is Aldershot v Altrincham. In the Premier League, the lunchtime match ended Brentford 1, Liverpool 4, but you'll know that by now. Well, Lee will have been happy with this. Burnley 0, Arsenal 5, Fulham 1, Villa 2, Newcastle 2, Bournemouth 2, Forest 2, West Ham 0, Tottenham 1, Wolves 2, Man City Chelsea is the tea time game. In the Championship, Plymouth 0, Leeds 2. Leeds going really well at the moment, aren't they? Birmingham 2, Sunderland 1, Bristol City 0, QPR 1, Huddersfield 1, Hull 2, Leicester 1, Middlesbrough 2, Millwall 0, Sheffield Wednesday 2, Norwich 4, Cardiff 1, Preston 2, Blackburn 2, Rotherham 0, Watford 1, Stoke 0, Coventry 1, Swansea 1, Ipswich 2. So Ipswich starting to get back into the swing of things. League 1, Bolton 3, Charlton 3, Carlisle 0, Cambridge 4, Carlisle look doomed. Cheltenham 3, Port Vale 2, Derby 1, Stevenage 0, Fleetwood 1, Barnsley 2, Northampton 3, Bristol Rovers 1, Peterborough 1, Blackpool 2, Portsmouth 4, Reading 1, Shrewsbury 0, Wigan 1, Wickham 0, Oxford 0. Danny Webb is here. I would imagine after controlling the game so much in the first 45, there'll be a few thoughts about giving the ball away a little bit too often in the second half.
Yeah, you know, I always say the result don't lie, it doesn't lie. You know, we're disappointed that Cheeks got hat-trick. Four similar goals, crosses in the box, and not defended well enough today, sadly. And then you managed to get back to 3-2 up with obviously Banksy's worldie goal and a set piece, and you think, okay, can we sit and then equalise? Okay, well, a point's still not a bad result here. And you just felt like the more they loaded the box, we just weren't defending it very well today. So, fair play to Bromley. But yeah, we got, especially with the timing of the goal right at the end. Because for large periods that second half, you know, I think a lot of people thought we'd probably going to get 3 points.
And at 3-3, you thought it was ending with that unbelievable save from Tyra.
Fantastic save.
You know, I think that's the best I've ever seen live.
It was an amazing save. But then he's had to make it, which is disappointing. Yes. Makes sense. So if he doesn't make that save, that sets 5 and it's another cross. So, we're disappointed with the goals. Of course we are. We're disappointed that we've lost to a team in second place, you know, and closed the gap a little bit. So that's disappointing. But listen, we've had a great time so far, but like I keep saying, it's not over. It's not over at all. That'll give Bromley a hell of a lift, that result. We've got to make sure we go to Halifax and deal with that slightly increased pressure now. The gap's got decreased.
And that first half was almost not breaking sweat for Chesterfield because they just controlled it. But yeah, Bromley got into the box. Yeah. Of course they did. They're at home and they're second in the league. Yeah. But Ollie Banks was running the show in the middle, and it looked as comfortable would be, playing the team right next to you in the table.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think it was comfortable because I don't think Bromley were quite at the races, and they got better probably as the second half went on. And as I say, second half, I thought We controlled it again for large periods, but we know how Bromley play. And if you don't deal with their threats, they'll win games. That's why they're second in the league, and they've got one of the best strikers around at this level for years and years. And sadly, today we just didn't keep them quiet enough in our box.
Yeah. They've probably got three or four players who are in the top ten of speed. They've got lots of speed birds. We didn't see it in the first half, but it came out in the second half, and it was difficult to work
with.
Yeah,
and that's why they're second, Phil. Yes, we're having a great season. We're 20 points clear, but they're having a cracking season as well. So fair play to them. Like I say, the biggest disappointment today is that we didn't really deal with their main threat, i.e. Cheek, in and around our box.
Well, I saw all the backroom staff out on the pitch a little while ago. I know you're not going to tell me what was said, but was that to give the players a little bit of time on their own in the dressing room as much as anything else?
Yeah, listen, every week we're giving them praise, and myself and we'll give everyone praise and go, isn't it wonderful, and it's all lovely. But like I said many a time to yourself and Liam Norcliffe, there's going to be speed bumps, and today a 94th minute defeat at our rivals was a hell of a big speed bump. So to win leagues, you've got to overcome adversity, and that was a bit of adversity today that we've got to get over Tuesday night.
On August the 1st, would you have taken with 13 games to go, 20 points lead and only 4 defeats?
Yeah, definitely. And what we can't do now, though, is gradually take 17 points and 14 points, and before you know it, it's a nervy last few weeks of the season. So it's in our hands to sort of make it comfortable. But we've got to defend better than that at times, and make sure, even though we scored 3, we probably thought we could have created a bit more at times. So yes, we scored 3, but we'd like to have scored more today as well.
Halifax coming up, so what's the plan between now and then?
Yeah, obviously a long journey home, and then we'll train Monday and get the preparation going. The one thing about the gaffer, he's very consistent, and he won't change his demeanour towards the players and the staff going into Tuesday.
And Halifax have beaten Woking at home today. What sort of style are they playing this season?
Good team. I went to go and watch them the other night. Good team, does a cracking job there, I think. Millie, the manager, probably doesn't get enough credit, but all that sort of praise goes out the window. We want to go there and get a result. I'm sure we'll take loads of supporters. They were brilliant today, by the way, and I bet they thought we'd won it with that third goal. It wasn't to be, but we're all in a good position as a football club, but we don't want to take a foot off the gas. We never do, and we certainly won't do that Tuesday.
Thanks, Danny. Danny Webb, Chesterfield assistant manager. And, well, let's just go through the scorelines. Where I finished League 2 scorelines. I think we just finished League 1, haven't we? So League 2, FC Wimbledon 1, Morecambe 1, Bradford City 1, Sutton United 0, Colchester United 1, Accrington Stanley 1, Crawley 2, Forest Green Rovers 0. They look doomed as well. Crewe 0, Harrogate 0. So Harrogate, who got hammered 9 at Mansfield in the week, getting a draw away at the team who were in third at the start of play. Grimsby 1, Doncaster 5. Wouldn't have necessarily see that one coming. Newport 1, Gillingham 0. Salford 5, Barrow 3. Tranmere 4, Stockport 0. Walsall 2, Mansfield 1. Wrexham 1, Notts County 0. So that was the two teams at the top of the National League last season. So let's have a quick look on the National League side. The table, we know what it looks like at the top. Chesterfield 81 points. Bromley on the same number of games, 61 points, and Barnet with one less, 59. So there's still that comfortable 20-point gap between Chesterfield and the Ravens. Solihull are on 53. Altrincham, who play this evening, have got 2 games in hand, and Barnet are 7 points behind. So they'll be hoping to get a victory down at Aldershot today. Alder was 6th, Gateshead 7th. Halifax, who host Chesterfield on Tuesday, have moved up to 8th spot. And at the bottom, Oxford bottom 28, Kidderminster 33, Woking 34, Ebbsfleet 35, Southend 35, Dorking, York, Fylde and Wealdstone all 38. So it's a real tight battle. And then just above those, Eastleigh and Maidenhead are only on 39. So the bottom of the table is a real interesting watch as we stand. Josh, more reaction?
Yeah, some more coming in on Facebook now. Rick Coates says, we're 20 points clear and have won the league, no doubt. Well done all. However, we have no pace once Colclough or Berry aren't in the squad, and any pressure, our defence go missing and holding midfield's non-existent. So unhappy Rick there. Rob Wilson says, disappointing defence, not at its best today at 3-2. Should close the game, offer men behind the ball instead of going after another goal. Let the opposition take the risks, committing men forward. I agree with that, Rob. I think Chesterfield tactically maybe got a little bit ahead of themselves when they were 3-2 up and perhaps should have shut the game out better. Richard Wilson says, it's all in the bounce. Can't see why people are panicking, signalling players out. Ridiculous. James Baker says that back 5 today was a disgrace. Peter Crooks says, we never usually play well at Bromley, but it sounds like we played okay today. It just wasn't to be. Plastic pitches, I hate them. Never mind. Dust ourselves off and go on to the next game. And we'll come on to Halifax, but that pitch is going to be a completely different challenge. We'll get on to that one in a second. Leanne Lacey Hatton says, this is going to hurt the players massively and the fans. A big shake-up needed for next Tuesday. A reset to start winning games again and finally seal promotion ASAP. We can turn this around for sure. Still 20 points clear. We cannot drop any more points, though. Barry Warren says, a disgraceful again.
A lot
of unhappy supporters from...
Come on, that's ridiculous.
We know what social media can be like in the heat of the moment, don't we? And sometimes you get certain comments where people just, I guess, passion's running high. Wayne Tomlinson says, I can't understand these town fans. It's a horrible pitch to play on. We're still 20 points clear. So there we go, Wayne bringing us back down to earth with that comment. Tony Adams says, I feel sorry for the fans who travel to Bromley to watch a performance like that. Well, Tony, yep, it's going to be a long journey back for us all, definitely. It was a difficult one getting round the M25 to get here, so I'm hoping for no traffic jams. Woolley says, 5 points dropped in 2 games, need the defence sorting. Mick Hibbert says, defence again, handed it to Bromley, but we're still 20 points clear. Ross Webb says, we're back to the dodgy defence from the beginning of the season, needs freshening up. Shaban says, still 20 points clear, 3G pitch, outstanding goal from Banks, and outstanding save from Tyra. We move on to the next. Julie says, such a shame, but Town still winning the league. Don't forget that. Paul Eggleston says, thought we'd escaped when Tyra made that save. At least we're still miles in front and Bromley are the next best team to us. So losing isn't the end of the world. They've showed today why they are second. So some Chesterfield fans rational, some perhaps flying off the handle, perhaps some not used to feeling that taste of defeat. Yes. It certainly comes to us as a shock to my system. So, I think when the dust settles, let's just calm down. There's another game on Tuesday. If we lose that, maybe we'll start getting a bit more twitchy. But from my point of view, it's a defeat. It's disappointing. The manner of it's disappointing. But let's not all let our bottom lips hit the floor just yet.
No, very very much the case. But it is Halifax coming up away on Tuesday. Again, just a reminder, if you are thinking of going there, it is pay on the day and it is cash only. Do not go without your cash. Check how much the tickets are. I think they're £21, aren't they? So for cash, you'd do 20, wouldn't you? You know,
just take a £20 note, chuck it over the turnstile. Yeah, yeah. You'll be all right.
But Halifax, well, they've got Sam Johnson in goal for a start, and he's one of the best, most consistent goalkeepers at this level for years, haven't they? And one of the players that I really like to see, Luke Summerfield, who's pings it a bit, is the Ollie Banks equivalent, isn't he?
Always has a good game against Chesterfield, doesn't he? Summerfield.
Yeah, but they're quite a changed side from the Halifax that were reaching the playoffs a year or two ago, and you're never quite sure. They've beaten Woking today, but if you look back at their in fact, that's the third consecutive victory. They beat Maidenhead 2-1 at home as well, so they've got two. They'll be looking for a hat-trick of home wins. And they won 3-1 at Dorking. So they've been playing sides that have been in the lower reaches of the game. The last time they played a top-half side, a playoff-chasing side, they lost at home to Solihull 3-1. So it may be that they might be the best of the rest, but they. I'm looking back to see if they've beaten any of the top sides. This season, they generally pick up their wins against. They've beaten Rochdale and Oldham very early on in the season. In the first match of the season, they beat Bromley, but a lot's happened since then. But they had three consecutive defeats, and now they've had three consecutive wins, but all against teams at the wrong end of the table. So, I'm not quite sure how they're going to play. We had that bizarre game, didn't we? That had just about everything earlier on in the season. The 3-2 victory for Chesterfield, Will Grigg scoring early on before Tyron Williams, before Naylor and Senior were sent off later on in the game. Joe Quigley scoring the last minute winner, wasn't it? And they showed they could play a little bit.
Yeah, they look a decent side from what I've seen of them. Of course, they've lost Millie Alley, who was a key player to them. I think he's gone to Exeter, Gary Caldwell's Exeter City, in fact. So I think they might miss out on him a little bit, but from Chesterfield's point of view, they'll not want it to be a basketball match like it was at the SMH Group Stadium. Chesterfield eventual winners, they found a way that evening, but look what happened today when it turned into a basketball match. They've ended up on the wrong side, so Chesterfield will want to get back quickly to what they were doing in that first half today when they're controlling the game, but that won't be easy on Halifax's pitch at the moment. That's why I wanted to mention it, because the pitch was a leveller today on this plastic 3G surface. Of course, Bromley very much used to playing on this one, but Halifax, of course, sharing with a rugby league team.
It's been hammered,
that pitch, like every pitch up and down the country with the weather we've had this winter. By all accounts, it is not in a good state at all.
Right.
So whether that will affect Paul Cook's methodology in terms of he likes his side to get the ball down, doesn't he? Pass it about, control that midfield. That might not be easy on a bobbly, boggy surface. So we'll wait and see. I would expect, maybe I'm speaking too soon, I would expect Joe Quigley to start in that one and maybe try and hit him directly or balls into the channel, perhaps.
That said, with Quigley, I don't disagree with that at all, Josh. But I thought Will Grigg was magnificent today. I think his play in the middle third of the park was exemplary. Scored the penalty goal, of course. But his link-up play with everybody, I think, was the best he's played. I can't think of a game he's played better.
Will Grigg is not one of those individuals who I will be singling out based on today's performance. He did everything right up front, and in that first half he was a real focal point for Chesterfield and did his job, didn't he? Took in that penalty away, getting his goal. Yet Will Grigg, from my perspective, did absolutely nothing wrong. It was some of the players behind him that let the team down today. But
and at the other end, Harry Tyrer did nothing wrong
again,
either. Did
Harry Tyrer, fantastic performance, yes. No doubt about it. And, you know, moments of brilliance. Ollie Banks, moments of brilliance. Tom Naylor with a great header. You know, he's added another goal to his tally as well. So, yeah, fantastic in some departments, but then in others, defence. I mean, I was praising the defence in the first half based on how they controlled the game, but there were some defenders on that pitch, as the social media comments allude to, that were poor, and in midfield as well. So, things to work on from the Spyrites' point of view.
We've got Liam Norcliffe from the Derbyshire Times. Liam, well, is it just a blip? 5 points dropped in two games, six goals conceded. Chesterfield are still in A1 point position, aren't they?
Yeah, I've just said in my report there that it stings a little bit now, doesn't it, coming all the way down here and having, you know, led a couple of times. But I think it might sting now, but I think come the end of the season, I think we're all still very confident that they're going to get the job done. And I think we're all probably expecting that there were going to be maybe a two or a three game little period where perhaps they weren't getting three wins on the bounce, for example. Yeah. So I think today we just sort of, as Paul Cook would say, lick his wounds and go back home.
But we're going back home thinking of a delicious goal from Ollie Banks and an absolute world-class save from Harry Tyrer.
Yeah, probably the save of the season for me. I just said that. It looked in all the way, didn't it? I think we all thought it was going in, and then he's just pulled a big hand out of nowhere. Yeah. I think that's why he was brought to the club, wasn't he? To make sort of match-winning saves. And unfortunately, well, he's made a few other good saves today as well, which probably we'll all forget about now after conceding four. But unbelievable save.
The double save he made before Michael Cheek eventually knocked it in was terrific.
Yeah, there's been games this season where he's not had a great deal to do. He's certainly got his money worth today, and that save at the end. It's just a shame that it wasn't enough to get as a result, isn't it?
Well, with our brief chat with Danny Webb, I forgot to ask him about James Berry. Did you ask him about James Berry?
Yes, it's a hamstring injury. I don't think it's anything serious. Said maybe could still be involved on Tuesday.
Yeah, but you're going to do anybody
with... Probably not, 3 days later.
Yeah, and that'll be the reason that Dobre didn't start today as well, because of his hamstring record last season. But thanks, Liam. Safe journey back up the M1 tonight. I don't think we're going to get a reaction from the players, and I understand that today, Josh. But let's wind up the programme here on After the Whistle. And I've just really enjoyed the game, and I understand all the disappointments, but I tend to look at the thing in the bigger picture, and I just look at the league table and think, hey.
Yeah, but I've travelled down here 200 odd miles to see us concede a 4-3 last minute defeat, Phil. As a Chesterfield fan, obviously it's difficult to be on the fence, but it's painful. I mean, look, Liam just said it stings. Well, wait till he hears my post-match angry playlist going back up the motorway. then he'll know what pain is. Yeah, but no, we've got to be realistic.
Just put the blues on there. 3 hours of the blues.
Thrash metal, Phil. A bit of Slayer on, I think, in the car on the way back. But from a Chesterfield point of view, it's we've got to keep calm heads, and that's what lost Chesterfield the game today. It was the lack of calm heads. Yes. What Chesterfield need now is calm heads, They know they're a good team. They just need to get back to playing as a good team again, being relaxed, being composed on the ball, because that's when we see the best of Chesterfield. They weren't doing that in the second half. So against Halifax, they just need to find a way to just take that extra bit of composure and just not let the occasion, the momentum of the game take them up, because that's what happened at 3-2. They probably thought, right, we can kill them now, we can go and get a fourth. And
you can see the reaction of the fans and the players. You felt they got it won at that stage, didn't you?
But the thing with Bromley is you can't do that, because they will just hit you on the break. That's their whole game plan. They're happy to soak it up. It's like, you know, the old Muhammad Ali, you know, playing rope-a-dope on the rope-a-dope and waiting for the moment to attack, and they took their moments well, and you've got to credit them for that. But from a Chesterfield point of view, that they need to get back to just having that extra bit of intelligence, game intelligence, and that extra bit of composure in those big moments.
Thanks very much, Josh Marsh. You've been listening to After the Whistle with me, Phil Tooley, and Josh Marsh. Thanks to Lee Francis and Danny Webb for their part in the show. We will be back before you know it, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. And don't forget, next Friday as well at 7 o'clock, it will be weekend warm-up. We'll be letting you know who will be our guests later on in the week. So from me, Phil Tooley, it has ended here at Bromley. Bromley 4, Chesterfield 3. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.